Bible, quite often, God talks about things that he's doing, about the way that he's working. And often we can think, oh, we can put God in a box and think he does certain things in certain ways. If we go to church, we might hear God's voice. Or if we read this certain passage, it's always spoken to us. Or, you know, if we walk in the woods, we might hear God because that's where we're always used to hearing him. But there's a passage in the book of Isaiah which talks about new things. It says this: this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and lay them there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former thing. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. We like our new things because they improve our life. But God says to us, I am doing a new thing. And that's just not in the book of Isaiah that I've read from. It's continually. God keeps doing new things. Every morning he gives us a new day. And in that day, there are new things for us to experience and for us to hear his voice speaking to us in new and fresh ways. So we're going to begin our service by singing this morning. We're going to sing, Great is thy faithfulness. God is a faithful God, but new every morning are the things that he gives us. And as we sing, we can maybe in our hearts ask him to speak to us in new ways as we come together this morning. I'm going to meet you all. I think you've had quite a lot to say this morning, haven't you? And we're going to sing. I'm going to ask that you unmute yourselves because we've got some words to say together this morning.
Are you going to put the other one on?
Oh, you're talking to me, Miranda. we're going to say some words together, which should appear on the screen. I'm going to say the words in italics, I think. Yes, and you're going to say the ones in bold as we begin our service together. So hopefully everyone can see this. It's up on the screen now. I'll say the ones in italics and we'll all say the ones in bold. Open our ears.
Hear your word.
Open our eyes.
See your presence.
Open our arms.
To the embrace of community.
Open our minds.
To the beauty of truth.
Open our hearts.
To the joy of new life.
So we're going to hear our Bible reading now this morning. We're continuing in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to mute you all as Val is going to read this morning. So hold on. I'll mute you all. I'll try to find Val.
This morning's reading is from Hebrews chapter 7, beginning at verse 11. Jesus like Melchizedek. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it, the law was given to the people, why was there still need for one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when there is a change of the law, so be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord. And in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what have we said is even what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever, order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. The law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. He became a priest with an oath when God said to him, Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever.
Thank you, Val. I'm so very pleased that I picked the book of Hebrews to speak on, because it's so very clear, isn't it? Clear as mud. But hopefully it'll be clearer in a little while. I have a challenge for you, for those of you who like to be doing things while you're listening. The challenge is to draw or make or create something that you believed to be as near perfect as it can be. Clear? Draw or make something that you believe to be as near perfect as it can be while I speak. Well, it's, as I say, it's interesting to do the book of Hebrews, because we suddenly get into this whole thing about priests and it's very confusing, but hopefully we'll understand a little bit clearer in a few moments. Do you know, the other day, thinking of new things and things that we might have bought, things that we might have done, the other day I was tasked to buy a steamer for the church to replace the old mop and bucket. Now, you would think this was an easy task, wouldn't you? Just to buy a steamer? Just go online, buy a steamer. Well, it would have been easy if I'd just bought the first one I saw. However, an hour later, after browsing on the internet, witch.co.uk, bestadvisors.co.uk, good housekeeping, looking all through it, I was still none the wiser. Which is the best steamer? I don't know. Because, you know, when you start to compare things, it can become tricky. Which steamer has a larger water capacity? Did you know that was an issue? Which steamer is lighter to carry? Which steamer dries the floor quicker and doesn't leave marks? I didn't know they left marks. Which is best value for money? When you start to compare one thing with another, it's very easy to get confused. And yet here in the book of Hebrews, if there's one thing that has been constant right from the very beginning of the book, it's that the author compares things. He's a bit like a bestadvisors.co.uk of the Bible, if you like. Now, to be fair, he only really compares one thing with many others. He's only really compared Jesus with lots of different things. But throughout the first five chapters of this book, he's compared Jesus with the prophets. If you remember right at the beginning, when way before the summer, we were looking at the start of the book. He's compared him with being greater than the prophets. He's compared him with the angels. He's compared him with Moses, that great man of faith. And what he has found, of course, when he's done this, is that time and time again, Jesus comes out as far better than the rest. Jesus Christ is supreme over and above the greatest that Israel had to offer, which is one of his points in the book. And so I guess when we get to chapter 7 and the author begins to compare Jesus again, this time Jesus, our great high priest, versus the Jewish priesthood, it comes as no surprise that once again, Jesus comes out on top. And not just slightly better, say a rating of 3 stars to 2, perhaps, but as we would expect, totally superior. A priest like no other. Or as we said last week, a priest in the line of Melchizedek. New, different, mysterious, unending. And when the author compares Jesus here to the traditional priesthood, those who have been serving God over the years as intermediaries for the people of God, the comparisons really are stark. Because where the Levitical priesthood relied on the next person to take over when the priest died, Jesus lives forever. He is a permanent priest. Where the Levitical priesthood needed to offer sacrifices day after day, first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people, Jesus offered himself once for all, with no need for a repeat. Where the Levitical priesthood were appointed by the law as human priests to serve God, Jesus was appointed with an oath by God himself as his son. In all ways, he's superior to the priesthood to which he is compared. In all ways, he is above and beyond those he is compared to. In all ways, there's really no comparison. Because as verse 26 puts it, Jesus is a high priest who truly meets our need, one who is holy and blameless and pure and set apart from sinners, exalted above the head. So if you're looking for a review, this is the kind that you would want, isn't it? One that puts you head and shoulders above the rest. One that truly distinguishes you from what was there before. When I was thinking about this, it reminded me of a time when I was hoovering. You get, there's a theme here, steamers. I was hoovering upstairs, and as I was hoovering, I got a little bit too enthusiastic about the hoovering, and I hit the radiator, and I knocked that little pipe that connects radiator into the floor of the pipes, and it broke and it started to leak, and all this water was coming out of the pipe at the bottom of the radiator. And I was in a little bit of a panic because, you know, I don't really do these things. And my mum and dad were staying, and I said, oh, I've got a bit of a problem. There's a bit of a leak from the radiator. And my dad went, oh, don't worry, we'll deal with it. Well, I don't think mum would mind me saying that dad wasn't the ultimate handyman. So we both knelt on the floor looking at the pipe going, yes, this is tricky, isn't it? What could we do? And then we decided we needed something to put round it to stop the water. And I said, well, I've got a bit of chewing gum downstairs. Maybe that would work. So I got a bit of chewing gum, had a bit of a chew, made it a little bit moist, wrapped the chewing gum round the pipe. Brilliant. There was a little bit of a drip, to be fair. I mean, it wasn't totally secure, but it held. It worked until eventually we got a plumber to come, and they came and they welded it, which was much better. Welding is much better than chewing gum if you've ever got that issue, you know. And in a way, this is the feel we get when we read this passage comparing Jesus to the priesthood of God, that actually, although the priesthood did an okay job, although it kept open the relationship between human beings and God throughout the year, it was nowhere near as good compared to what was to come in Jesus. Or if you like, although it held the pipe together like a bit of chewing gum would do, it was nothing compared to a properly welded seal. This is the point the author is trying to make when he compares Jesus with the priesthood. But he also wants his readers to grasp something else as well. Not just Jesus's supremacy, not just his greatness or the way he stands head and shoulders above the greats around him, but also the role he plays in relation to the priesthood to which he is compared. The passage we read today begins with the sentence, if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priest, why was there still need for another priest to come? Or if you like, if perfection could have been found in the priests who served over the years, why was there need for Jesus? Why did he need to come in the first place? What is the point of all this talk about his role of supremacy as high priest? Well, I guess this is the reason that the author continues the topic for two whole chapters, because he's trying to stress that not only is Jesus greater, not only is he superior, not only is he better than all that has gone before, he's also different. And one of the reasons for this is because he's also the only one who can bring perfection. Now, for us, with our 21st century eyes, we might find this hard to understand, mainly because we see perfection as being something that is without flaws. You know, we see Jesus as being perfect because he did not sin. Just as we're imperfect, because we do, we make mistakes, we make errors, we mess up. And so the way we see perfection is when something is faultless. But here the meaning is slightly different. It's not so much about someone who is faultless or flawless, someone who never makes any mistakes. It's more about someone who can bring completeness. So perfection here refers not just to a perfect person, but to someone who has everything needed to bring a situation to completion. And the reason this was so important to establish was because the Jewish community, many of whom were reading this letter originally, had been brought up to believe that perfection or completeness would come through the established priesthood. They'd believed that it was through Abraham and Aaron and Levi, through the traditional line of descendants that God had established, if you like, that he would eventually make things perfect. And so they believed it was through the priests and the temple and the sacrifices and the faithfulness of the people of God over the years that God would eventually bring salvation to the world. This was their belief. This was what they'd been working toward. So when the author investigated Melchizedek last week, likening Jesus to him rather than the Levitical priest, and when here in this passage today he begins to highlight not only the greatness of Jesus, but the stark difference between him and the priest before him, he's seeking to show that actually the priesthood of God, rather than being the means of salvation, had actually run its course. And even though over the years it had pointed the way to God, it pointed out what was to come, if you like, it had never in any way been able to bring about the completeness that God intended. And so Jesus came. Not as a Levi, not as a descendant of the human priestly system, not as another in a great line of priests, not even as one who belonged to a priestly tribe, but instead from the tribe of Judah, as the passage says, a different tribe, and no one from that tribe's ever served at the altar. Jesus came as someone completely new, as someone appointed by God. Only he could stop the cycle of imperfection that was the old priesthood and finally bring about perfection, completeness. Because the old system, however good it was, and the author's not knocking the system here, could in no way, shape or form do what Jesus could. You know, during lockdown, there were a number of crises, I put that in this. One was people's hairdos, wasn't it? We talked about that quite. I've got a crisis with my hair because I haven't been able to see my hairdresser. But I had another crisis, and that was jeans. I couldn't buy a pair of jeans. And I was getting holes in my jeans all the time in very unfortunate places. And so I spent a lot of lockdown sewing patches on my jeans. I would sew one patch on. I think it's brilliant. For those of you who know from the ladies' night that we used to do, I'm not really a sewer. But I tried my best and I sewed a number of patches on. But however hard I tried, patch after patch would sort of come apart or it would wear itself. And, you know, eventually I conceded that actually my little sewing up wasn't going to do the job, and I had to get a new pair of jeans. So in the end, I got a completely new pair of jeans. In fact, I got two, but that's not really, you know. And this is what the author is trying to make clear in this passage, that yes, Jesus is greater. Yes, he's a new line of priest. Yes, he's a step above all that's gone before, but he's also different. God picked him, and God swore an oath to show his role was eternal. He's not the only one. He is the only one, sorry, who can fulfill the wonderful plans of God to rescue a hurting world. The priesthood before him could point the way to a relationship with God and a different way of being, but only Jesus could bring into being what was really needed. It was like a new pair of jeans. However much sewing up the old pair needed, they were never going to lead to a new pair. You had to buy something. And, you know, as we think about this today, I think this is really important to remember, because although we might know that Jesus is greater than everything around us, and although we might know that he's better than anything we could ever establish or make, remembering that he's the only one who can bring to completion the things of God can sometimes be something we don't really think about, especially when there are so many other things that can bring real change to our lives, especially when there are so many other things that shout their worth and their importance, so many other strategies that can help us find fulfillment, or books that can give us insight, or groups that can support us to live our lives. There are a lot of systems that we have set up within the church and outside to keep us heading in the right direction as we live life. Or if you like, there are a lot of good things that in many ways can point the way to God. And they are good. They're really good. Things that can help us and that we should take on board. But here the author wants us to know that however good these things are, however helpful books and apps and websites and podcasts and everything else like that are, there is no way that any of the tools we have made as human beings can bring to completeness the plans of God. Because the only person that can do this is Jesus. The only person who can make things right is the Son of God. And what the author says here, in and among his grand words and sometimes confusing concepts, is that basically we need to keep our focus on Jesus, not getting sidetracked by the traditional paths that point the way to God or the new trends that help us understand life better, but instead sticking closely to the only one who is greater and better and eternally available. Because it is through him, it is only through Jesus, that God will bring about the transformation of our world. And that's not to say we become ignorant of the things that help and comfort us and other people, or that we're dismissive of new concepts and old traditions. It's not a choice between good and bad. It's just a reminder that apart from Jesus, nothing can really work as it was intended to. And only with him can our lives and the future of our world be brought to completion.